Recording has started.
Great, thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the new GTLD, Subsequent Procedures PDP Subgroup B call, held on Tuesday, the 11th of December, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. And if you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? I just want to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to Krista Taylor. Please begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon or good evening to everyone. This is Krista Taylor for the record. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us. And as you can see from the agenda that was sent out, I guess last night, Pacific time, we have four items to cover. The first topic is review of the agenda. Are there any other items that we should add to the agenda? And as always, if anything arises during the call, we can always add it to the end in the any other business. Seeing no hands, no comments, move on to topic number two, which is whether anyone has any updates to their SOI, and if so, please let us know now. Seeing no hands, a couple of people are typing. Not related to the topic, so I'll keep going. Third item on the agenda is discussion of the public comment on sections 2.5.2, which is the variable fees, and will be a continuation from the last call, along with the section 2.5.3 application submission period. We'll then conclude with any other business and the next meeting date. So with all that said, I'll jump right into topic number 3A, which is section 2.5.2.E.2. I'm going to give everyone a second to get there. It's line 36 if you're on the online document. So hopefully everyone's there. The question is, should there be any exception to the rule that all applicants pay the same application fee regardless of the type of application? What exceptions might apply, why or why not? The first comment is from the Council of Europe, which agrees with a focus on community applications, and also notes to make a comment on there on string contentions, also related to community applications. And finally, in the third paragraph, they relate to, quote, all subsequent fees and costs such as those including the cost of filing or responding to a community objection. These fees and costs should be established at the level accessible for the GPI-orientated communities. I'm going to go through all the comments first, and then I'll revert back to the chat and then open up the floor. Second comment is from the Brand Registry Group. This is similar to an item that we already reviewed in 2.5.2.C.1 with the reference to the 20% cost differentials. Then we have the government of, sorry, and they seem to agree with having the different application fees, or yes, there should be an exception to the different application fees. Next, we have the government of India. They do agree, and then they go on further to suggest multiple IDN scripts due to great linguistic diversity. We then have the Ming Limited Group, and they agree with special focus on ASCII and IDN TLDs. And I believe there was a comment on brands in there as well. Yes, TLDs of the brands. Then we have INTA, and they agree with a focus of different fees for brand owners. We have LaMerit, they agree with focus on brand owners. They also have the other idea that isn't really directly related to variable costs, suggesting that, quote, clear rules that the purpose of the TLD cannot be changed to avoid gaming. And so I went back and added that to the other section, which is 2.5.2.D.2, which is relating to, I guess, a fee for changing the applications. And I'm going to hop back to that because at the end, because I didn't have that in our initial pass in that section. Then we have the ALAC, and they say only applicant support applicants should have different fees. And then finally, we have the registry stakeholder group, which disagrees, saying that the fee should be the same regardless. Comments? I see no hands and no comments, so I'm just going to go to the next section, which is on line 45, section 2.5.2.E.3, is different types of applications result, if different types of applications result in different costs, what value, i.e. amount, percentage, other, would justify having different fees? How could we seek to prevent gaming of the different costs? Again, this is tying into section 2.5.2.D.2 regarding the different regarding gaming. And we only have, I think, three comments here. The first one is INTA, which we already reviewed in section 2.5.2.D.2, which is the same section I just referenced. We have LaMerit saying that the rules of the category should be strictly defined. Switching from one to the other type of TLDs should be an exemption. So, and then we have the registry stakeholder group. Doesn't really seem to answer the question directly, and it's hard to kind of put it all together, but they're saying there's no evidence on the different types and costing, but we didn't have any of that evidence so far to date, which we noted earlier. It says the application fee is supposed to be revenue neutral, not per application, and variances within plus or minus two standard deviations from the mean should have been considered in setting prices. Then they go on saying it contradicts with the minimum fee floor amount and would certainly encourage speculative behavior and gaming of the different fees. Again, gaming is more referring to, also refers to the other section. Then, and further argues against increasing the number of types of categories of applications. And supports charging the extras as per the original applicant's guidebook. So it's divergent to the idea with a bit of a mix of everything else in there for other ideas. So I'm going to open up the floor for comments. And Michael, I see you have a comment, so please go ahead.
So on this particular comment, specifically referring to what they say on WorkTrack 1, a major point was that WorkTrack 1 was not able to get exact numbers on what the cost of ICAM was. I think this needs to go back to the registry stakeholder group and figure out what, if they only seem to support suggestions, exemptions in general, but they don't, they seem to have issue with the, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble getting my thoughts together. I'll come back around to me.
No, No problem. I think I know where you're going with that, and it sounds like, and feel free to correct me, is that you're looking for more, or they might change their opinion if they had exact costing, but feel free to adjust. Oh, go ahead.
Michael Castellal for the transcript. Yes, that's kind of where I was going. A lot of the work is that there are simply no hard numbers to go with on what the cost of ICANN was to evaluate a new top-level domain. And this also ties into their previous comment on exemptions that are such, although there's a general belief that the they also expressed the belief that the program should be cost neutral. So this one's a little hard to figure out. Basically, if there is no significant cost for us to evaluate multiple strings in of the same word, then it still says revenue neutral and we can still discount it. So I feel like this one needs to go back and have clarification on whether they support exemptions as long as it keeps the program price neutral or so forth and so on. I'm hoping that came out and articulated.
Better. Yes, thanks. Anyone here from the registry stakeholder group who would like to provide any clarification? I see no hand. Add that maybe to an action item. I'm just reading up in the chat. Susan says, sorry, it's skipping here. Okay. Sorry. Do we know what Lemerit means by exemption comment? So in 2.7.2.E.2, they did quote, TLD cannot be changed, end quote, to avoid gaming. I'm not sure if that answers it exactly, but just I did note that myself because I think I went back to make sure I understood that. Jim, I think Christine drafted the registry stakeholder group. Too bad she's not able to make it. Sorry, I can't keep up here. And I think that's it. Oh, Jim, you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Krista. Yeah, I think you know, we divvied up the comment drafting amongst different members of the stakeholder group. So Christine, I think, had the action item on this one. So maybe next call we can come back to it and she can give further insight into exactly where it was going.
Great. Maybe I'll make a little note to her as well. Okay. Seeing no other comments on that, I'm going to jump to 2.5.2.E.4. And the question is, if fees are imposed for changing the type of application, again, what is an acceptable percentage and how should the percentage be determined? The first comment is from INTA, referring to a difference in application fee plus a 15% admin fee. Then we have the second one, which is the registry stakeholder group that believes the applicant should not be charged for a higher fee for making any changes to their applications that are, quote, permitted changes under the applicant guidebook. A little bit different twist there. And then finally we have the NCSG, which doesn't really, it's not really directly related to the question, but they want a comment on the changing the fees midway would result in non-commercial and non-profit organizations having to drop out of the round. And I think we kind of or hopefully will be able to address that in the comment that we referenced or I referenced to in the last call, which is in cell G12 on application fees for the accurate, transparent, and accountability of costs. So those are that's the entire section, and opening up to the floor. Michael, please go ahead.
Just one minor comment is, and this may have been a problem with the way this was worded in the initial report, the INTA comment does not refer to the case where if they make a change to the type of application and the change would be to a discounted, how is that handled specifically? Because it's possible that due to a change in application, they qualify for lower applicant fees. Are they refunded or whatnot? So that may be referred back for further clarification.
I'm not sure what you're referring to discount. What do you mean by discounting?
I shouldn't say discount. We have the entire section that certain application fees are reduced, and if the type of application changes, is there a scenario where the application fee would have been lower than it would have been originally?
Are you referring to applicant support, maybe? So if not, then I'm a little confused because the costing method shows that we should be revenue neutral. So there's no discounting unless it's applicant support.
I would say it would be with applicant support. I guess what would happen in the case. So we basically, something that brought up was, you know, applicant support or reduced fees for applying for multiple strings in IDMs and or brands. And if an application changes to have to fall into one of those categories, how is that handled?
Okay.
I'm not on my game today, so.
We'll circle back because, I don't want to keep going in circles. We're just evaluating whether or not they agree with the question and the feedback on it as opposed to the multiple strings and discount because I don't think there was really, we haven't either got to a section or it hasn't been described to that level, I guess, due to, sorry, I'm not saying that correctly, but it hasn't been articulated that that was an item, and in work track one, people disagreed with that, so I don't want to say agree or not on that.
Fair enough. Sorry for any confusion.
Oh, no, all good. We all learn. Couple comments. Justine says, I have a couple of questions, which I posted just subgroup B. Missed post last call. They are, one, pertaining to text in the working group call, in many instances I see work group response, the work group will refer to the new idea concern divergence to the full work group. Is this meant to be a subgroup's proposed working group response, as in the subgroup is proposing that the working group's response to the contributor be this, or is this meant to be a subgroup's response to the comment for the full working group's consideration? So it's for the working group's consideration. I'm a little confused on the use of working group response, working group, and full working group in this column too. Okay, I will clarify that a little bit going forward. It was just an idea while I was reviewing it to hopefully kind of speed things up for everyone to quickly review it and for discussion purposes. Question 2.5.E2, while I understand the brevity in no cap equals agree, entries under the comment column, I just wanted to reconfirm that they actually mean no cap beyond stability and operational constraint considerations. Yes, that was the idea. And Susan comments, changing later to something which would have been a higher price, but trying to game the system, proposing a disincentive to that. Okay. Any other comments on this section 2.5.2E4? being nothing. I think we are done this section, and then I will turn it over to Ruben to do the next section. So Ruben's all yours.
Thanks, Krista. While staff hold the next session into Adobe, we're going to 253, which is the application submission period, a topic that was dealt by WorkTrack 1, which is the next step just after 252, which was application submission period. Since most of you have the link, you'll go for that, but it will soon load into Adobe. The first question in 253 was 253C1. For the next round of new TLD applications, applicants should have a minimum of 3 months from the time in which the application systems open until the time in which applications would become due, known as application submission period. This recommendation would apply if the next application opportunity is structured as a round. For this comment, we have 4 agreements with no new ideas or concerns from the Brand Registry Group, from INTA, from Fairwind Partners, and from Valideos. But if you go to line 5, we have a comment from the Registry Stakeholder Group that agreed with the suggestion, but added most of a new idea or a possibility that the period could be extended to 6 months, as such extension would be beneficial in allowing latecomers for the program to participate. So Registry Stakeholder Group, while not disagreeing with 3 months, suggesting that 6 months could be beneficial. Next, we have a comment from Business Constituency, line 6, where they have concern with 3 months not being long enough in some parts of the world. So while they haven't said so, just extend for applicants for some parts of the world, that could be one reading of this comment. Another reading would be to extend for everyone. So for this section, we could ask their representative if they were suggesting to actually increase the application period for more than 3 months for everyone, or just on a geography basis, which could be one reading of the comment. I have a feeling that they are not saying that, but instead of having a feeling, having confirmation will be better for the overall consensus building process. And still in this comment, there was one ALAC comment that actually referred to other comments, so we will look into those when we get there. So, any comments or issues in 253C1? I see some people were chatting, but not something that would prevent us from going. So we now go to line 11, item 253D1. In section 241 communications, WorkTrack 1 has recommended the communications period for the next round of new GTLDs should be at least 6 months. One possible recommendation is that no more than 2 months of the communications period for the next round of new GTLDs should overlap with the application submission period, leaving at least 1 month after the closing of the communications. But before going to this item, we had a hand raised in the room. So, Jim, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Rubens. Just going back to that DC comment, my sense is they didn't mean that only certain parts of the world get more time, but I guess it wouldn't hurt to get clarification from them. That's all. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. So, moving back to 253D1, we had one agreeing comment from the Brain Registry group, but we had a more dispersed myriad of opinions from other stakeholders. We had a divergence from INTA that they do not support an overlap with the application window at all, period. So no qualifiers, simply do not overlap. So we need to forward that divergence to the full work group. We had a comment from the registry stakeholder group with at least two new ideas. One was actually comment about the effectiveness of the communication period and time payment to external consultants on that communication period to some success metrics. So I don't recall if this has been discussed in the initial report anywhere. So either way, we need to take this to the full working group, but it's not a parking lot item because we can't even refer to that discussion. It's simply a new discussion that we need to refer to the work group. But coming back to the point of the application period, the registry stakeholder group does not seem so favorable to an overlap, although allowing for a maximum of 30 days overlap. So they would prefer no overlap at all, but would allow some overlap. This is something that we could also refer to the work group, possibly merging the two comments. One stakeholder didn't even want an overlap. Some might tolerate, but not as large as suggested in the initial report. And final comment in this item was to recommend an initial three-phase application window, comment from Newstar. And this is possibly something that might be might need some better understanding. There is a link in the comments to a comment that Newstar previously sent, so we could probably look into this to get more details on this idea. But either way, it's a new idea for us to refer to the full working group. So on 253D1, any comments, questions, concerns? Not seeing any hands. Let's go to 253D2, which Sherry already reminded that the line 16 in the spreadsheet, that it says that in the event of following the next round of new GTLD, application opportunities could be organized as, if application opportunities organize a series of application windows steps related to application processing delegation should be able to occur in parallel with the opening of subsequent application windows. We had three comments agreeing with this, one from the ALAC, one from the Brand Registry Group, one from the Registry Stakeholder Group. We also had an agreement from INTA, but they provided some conditionals for that agreement that Inter supports this approach, provided the virus windows are clearly identified and that controls are in place to ensure that a later application for a TLD or one confusingly similar thereto is not giving priority to an earlier one, which looks more like an implementation note, not as a policy disagreement. So they seem to not disagree with policy in this. Any comments or issues on 253D2? Going once, going twice. Let's go to 253D3 then, line 21. In the event that following the next round of new TLDs, application opportunities are organized as a series of application windows, the application submission period may be shortened to 2 months. We had agreement from that on the brand registry group and from the registry stakeholder group. But we had 2 disagreements on this, on opposing shortened window from INTA and from Newstar. But one of things that sounded to me that some of those comments might not having taken into account that this would be for a series of application windows, so more of a regular process that is happening frequently and periodically. And the response seems to be more tuned to a round system that a round occurs and then a long time passes by and then an application comes again. So what we could do for those two would try to ask for clarity. We have participants from both organizations frequently in our meetings. So perhaps one of those could clarify us. I don't know if that's Anne is going to do or not, but Anne, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rubens. I'm sorry that actually this is a comment related to the earlier section. I tried to get my hand up as fast as I could, but this relates to cell 20 and INTA's condition for support of the windows that follow on one to another. And they're saying that as long as one is not given priority to an earlier one or something, if there's a different string, it's just a note that this way of proceeding, I think, would have implications for something that's in a different subgroup, and that is for the objection procedures like string contention and string confusion and everything else, that once you establish the windows like this, you know, it has to be clear. I mean, normally those procedures apply within, those objection procedures apply within, you know, just the one window. And if we have a series of windows that are each 2 months long or whatever, we'd have to clarify whether those objection procedures apply in exactly the same way, because I can't remember the deadlines for objections, but, I mean, you could end up with a situation where somebody files a timely objection but then also applies in the next window. It's kind of complicated, but it's just a note that this could affect the objection procedures and would need to be looked at, you know, a lot more carefully in terms of recommendations from the final working group. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. And if I can make a comment in my personal capacity, one of the implications of that would be for string confusion objections, There is a difference between outcome if the objector is a current register operator or an applicant. If it's a current register operator, if the objection succeeds, the application is terminated. And if it's an applicant, the application goes into contention. So that could be some of the complications that you are foreseeing. But either way, this is, looks more like an implementation quirk that needs to be looked into, but it's possibly something more substantive than we are looking at this point. But we had some chats in this, so these are interesting discussions that we can go back later. So if we go back to 253D3, where we are talking about some divergence from Intel and Newstar, that the idea was to ask them for clarity. And then we have a comment from ALAC that implies that this would be discourage or disadvantage first-time applicants. And I really had a hard time applying that comment to this specific section. So if someone can think of where we should move this comment or we need to take into account that this session, I welcome that. But before that, we'll go to Susan, which will probably comment on a previous topic. Please go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, hi, it's Susan Payne. Thanks, Rubens. And I may have misunderstood you, but I think I understood you to be saying that you were planning to go back to INTA and Newstar to ask for clarification of their opposition in this 2.5.3.D.3 section. And I just wasn't really sure why that was necessary. I mean, it seems to me that their responses aren't, there's nothing sort of ambiguous about either of the responses that I can see. The question envisages that this is in subsequent, you know, there's a next round and then in subsequent application periods it might be shortened. And both of those two groups are objecting to that shortening. Can you just clarify to me why you think those two responses are ambiguous or that need clarification? Because it doesn't seem like they need it to me.
Thanks, Susan. It's not that they are ambiguous. They seem to be very assertive about a different topic, which was the application window size for a more not so frequent position. So the idea was to clarify if this indeed was a response for this specific scenario, which is a frequent application window scenario, just because the response doesn't go into much detail of this exact scenario. So it looks a bit like a previous response that was meant for a round basis for next round issue. So it's just for confirmation due to this. Not that it looks ambiguous, but it might look out of place. So that's the motive. Does that answer your question?
I guess it does. I guess I disagree with you. I think the question is very clear that was asked, and the responses, I'm certainly know from in the relation to the INTA response, it, you know, the responses were submitted question by question in a tabular format very similar to this, as you know, you can see if you go back and look at the comments. So it's not a question of you know, were they answering a different question by mistake? I mean, I think INTA was very clear which question it was answering.
Thanks, Susan. Even though sometimes it might be seen clear, I still prefer to err in the abundance of caution. So as a general principle, not only in this specific case. You can answer, INTA can answer exactly that, and then there will be no doubt about it. Unfortunately, Donna Austin from Newstar, the other comment that would like some question, doesn't have audio right now, so we'll follow this up by email with her or some other representative from Newstar. And we can go back to the ALAC comment, where the doubt was, does that really mean something about this specific question was what target or should be moved to another one? Does that anyone want to take a shot on this one? Or seeing no hand and no comments, we have to record this as an action item to later, but not to be taken with ALAC, be taken with ourselves, just to be sure we as a subgroup are on the same page on this item. So let's move to 2531.
I'm sorry, Rubens, to interrupt you. It's Anne again, but we're having a problem with going on the next sections while hands are up. So may I ask to be recognized?
Please go ahead, Anne.
Yeah, thanks very much. I just wanted to support, I think, both what Susan had said and then what Donna said in the chat, and that I don't think that on cell 2425 that asks for clarity is the correct next action. I agree with them that these comments are clear, and so I don't think that staff would want to put ask for clarity in those boxes. Thank you.
Thanks, and your comment is noted. And you now go to 253E1. For the next round, is having the application submission period set at 3 months sufficient. And we have agreement comments from the Brand Registry Group, from Business Constituency, from INTA, from Newstar, and from Fairwind Partners. But we had comments from Jane Baxter that was an agreement with a concern. And what he mentioned is that he could provide conditional support for 3 months based on data. So if data points collected from the questions in 242E2 show that applications started submit as a direct result of communication of 14 communication periods, if those appeared, then he could not support the overlap of these periods. But looking at those comments, I think that they should probably be more tailored to 253D2, but it's our task to look into this anyway, including this call, and it seems that there is a concern here, so that although there is an agreement, there is a call for more data to base that decisions from the work group and from the organization. So we need to refer that concern to the full work group as well. The only question is that if we forward in this item or the other, but we have to forward it anyways. Besides that, we had some we had one comment from the Registry Stakeholder Group that very similar to a previous comment, possibly something to be merged, suggesting that 3 months would be adequate, but extending to 6 months would be beneficial, which, by the way, is something that was compatible with a divergence from another group. I believe it was Inter, but I'm not sure. So that's one angle the forward group could look into that could merge these concerns. We had a new idea from the ALAC that would support for conditions improving the number of community-based applications and benefiting underserved regions. So the favor condition would improve the number of community-based applications, particular ones made by community support applicants or ones which are considered to benefit underserved regions. And if they see an appropriate application mission, it is a function of how well such applicants can be expected to comprehend the requirements, prepare their applications, and submit those applications. So this is more not a call for data, but a call for reasoning. So if taking the needs of those applicants into account is the application mission period reasonable. So in some parts, this is possibly something that we need to duplicate a discussion at applicant support, at least on the underserved regions. But they have one angle that's not covered by applicant support, which are the community-based applications. So is the time enough for community-based application to be developed and submitted? So this could actually take more than a concern than a new idea, but one thing that could be taken out of this, even if it was not what the ALAC suggested, but something that work group could consider, would be a different submission application period for different application types, which is possibly something that we could also look into application types. So that's something that our group will have to digest on our behalf. The registry stakeholder group, registrar stakeholder group, had a comment that it depends on the prior notice length and the complexity of the application process. And both this comment and the next comment from Lemerit can shine a light on us that some of the comments were made based on a level of complexity that either was what was seen in the 2012 round or what they are foreseeing in this round. But depending on how the work group changes the application process, for instance, if the application becomes so much easier and simpler than 2012, then some aspects of the process, including the submission period, could be changed. The comment below, which was from Lemerit, said that they believe that 3 months was not sufficient, and they mentioned some required documents that took a significant amount of time. And while they haven't said in those words, This probably refers to continued operation instrument and some other pain points of the 2012 program that we all know about, and we'll probably going to do something about it, and the initial report already foresees changing that aspect anyways. So one of the comments that we could include to the full work group, besides that those two new ideas and diversions, that they are, the commenters are actually basing their comments on the last round, or assuming the next round will be similar to the last round. And that might not be true. And in that case, the full group might have to circle back into the question for more holistic matter, say, oh, if the process is now simpler, can these periods be shortened or not? When those could apply or not is something that we probably need to discuss at that time. And although I not seeing any hands on this, I think this is a good point for us to stop going to 253. We have more items in the application submission period to go over, and we are just 5 minutes before our time ends. So it's probably more useful now to go to the item 4 in our agenda, which is to see if someone has any other business. I'll take this opportunity to note something that Susan noted in the chat, changing her SOI that we couldn't capture during the beginning of the call, that she's now Secretary of INTA. Congratulations, Susan. And is there any other business? Oh, she's correcting me, Secretary of the IPC. Sorry, Susan, but your chat record was correct, and now audio is corrected as well. So if anyone has any other business they would like to raise, why do people think there is one thing that is part of our work plan that we could look into? There is a proposal that it's fine by me, but just make the subgroup know it, see if anyone has any concerns. So after we end application submission period, we start with terms and conditions, and then application queuing instead of going to applicant support, which would be in numerical order, but subgroup coordination thinks that this would make more sense in the discussion. So in our next meeting, December 18, at an hour I don't remember, which is, and perhaps our helpful staff might remember, which time in December 18 will be our next meeting. But just to signal that the work plan is to move ahead terms and conditions and application queuing and go back to applicant support at a later date. Emily's typing, probably yes. Inform us that it's 1700 UTC on December 18, our next meeting. So is there any other business, or do people wonder 3 minutes back? It seems so. So we can end the recording. Thank you, everyone, for your participation today, and talk to you all December 18th. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Ruben. Thank you, everyone. Today's meeting has been adjourned. You can disconnect your line and have a good rest of your day.